God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. On today's program, former Washington Post Bureau Chief for Investors Business Daily, Paul Sperry, is back to share more information from his book, The Great American Bank Robbery. He and Brother Hutchings will delve into what really caused the Great Recession that has lifted money from so many U.S. citizens' wallets. Here now is Brother Hutchings.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. On the broadcast yesterday with Mr. Sperry, we covered the reason behind why we're in so much trouble today, why people are losing their homes, why there is a recession. And as I brought out over this broadcast before, why some of our constituencies have so many problems with homes. For example, here in Oklahoma City, I think I've been told there's 30,000 homes for sale at below even mortgage prices, which is rather tragic. But this is something that's happening all over the United States. As I brought out, this happened in 1990 when Mr. Clinton started his subprime mortgage program where those buying homes didn't have to really give proof of income or their worth or their credit records. If they had a problem, then the representatives from ACORN, a Little Rock-based organization, would come in, and Mr. Barack Obama at that time was a lawyer of ACORN. It was very tragic that these people, as they went along, couldn't pay their mortgage, which could be expected. And as Mr. Sperry brings out, that has cost American taxpayers and homeowners some $14 trillion. One of the main reasons for the economic situation we're in at this time. Now, Mr. Sperry, in your book, which is almost 300 pages, you go into all the details that so many homeowners or taxpayers don't have time or access to what you have in this book. But where do we go from here?
Well, one of the main problems that's happening right now is the antidote to, you know, what happened in this crisis is just more poison. You know, we have a huge tsunami of regulations about to hit the banking and housing industries in the form of the Dodd-Frank Act. And this is Christopher Dodd and Barney Frank's brainchild. They are two congressmen who are right in the epicenter of the corruption that happened with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They're two of the people who were considered architects of the crisis, yet they were put in charge of figuring out the solutions to the crisis. And what they're foisting on the banking and the mortgage industries with these new regulations are just going to cause more problems in the long run. And we'll be looking back in 5-10 years and go, well, how did we get into this mess again? How did we have how did racial politics fuel another easy credit bonfire? Well, you look what's in the fine print. The devil is in the details in that Dodd-Frank 2,300 pages of regulations, and what they're setting the banking industry up for another failure by insisting that there be socialization of mortgages for low-income minorities. That's throughout that document, and the media hasn't reported on that. And simultaneous to that, you have the Obama administration sicking the Housing and Urban Development Department, this is HUD, on banks, suing them right now for not lending enough to minorities, pricing loans too high for them, and referring cases of alleged discrimination to the Attorney General, this is Eric Holder, for prosecution. And he is going after banks hammer and tong right now, alleging that they're racist and forcing them to fund these special funds for mortgages with special terms for minorities, even though there was no proven individual discrimination in any of these cases. And so there's a huge shakedown of banks going on right now within the Obama administration. And then you're going to have Dodd-Frank hit this summer, later this summer, that's going to hit banks really hard. And they're already very, very fragile. The industry is very fragile. Like you were pointing out, Noah, this housing crisis is now officially worse, not equivalent, not the worst since the Great Depression. It's now worse. This is the worst housing crash we've ever had, and it's ongoing. And we're repeating the same mistakes, you know, lower underwriting standards, preferential treatment based on racial politics for uncreditworthy borrowers. That's happening right now. Fannie and Freddie have not been dissolved. They're still making low-quality loans at the behest of the government under their so-called affordable housing mission, which has not been revoked. That has not been repealed. That is ongoing. The same forces are in place. And I would argue, as I did in my book, Great American Bank Robbery, it's worse now what's happening, because not only are we repeating the same mistakes, the same culprits that were culpable for the crisis leading up to the crisis under the Clinton administration have been rehired by President Obama and put in key positions of power at HUD and at the Justice Department and other agencies to go after banks in another renewed witch hunt.
Now, back in 1990, I read the New York Times article in which Mr. Clinton was warned about his subprime mortgage policies, literally forcing banks to grant mortgages to people. Some of them didn't even have jobs. Also, as you brought out, even illegal immigrants were allowed to buy homes with no proof of their ability to pay for them. And the figure I saw that there were 5 million homes sold to illegal immigrants. They shouldn't have been allowed to buy a home in the first place. That was the policies of the Clinton administration. Also, it was carried over into the next administration. So it just went from bad to worse, and now we're going from worse to disaster unless something is done about it. And the problem is that most people don't understand, taxpayers understand this. And I cannot understand either why there are not some wise heads in Congress who are going on television and telling the people what is happening and try to stop this road to ruin. It seemed like anyone with a ninth grade education and would understand that this is going to destroy this nation, or one of the things that is going to destroy this nation. Now, in 1849, Bastiat, you know, called this legal plunder, and even at that time, he warned against communism. And to me, you are taking from the haves and giving it to the have-nots, which is communism.
That's right. At base, this is what's going on, is a redistribution of wealth through the credit markets, through the private credit markets, because there's no way they could have gotten away with these multicultural housing schemes on the budget, because it would have taken, you know, the entire budget process, appropriations, there would have had to have been representation, and, you know, there would have been an uproar. But what they did was they did this through regulation. They went straight at banks through the regulatory process, and that's where Clinton was a diabolical genius. Diabolical genius, we all know he is. He went after banks through the regulatory process, the back door. He enlisted the Department of Justice to go after them, accuse them, and sue them of racism. He had HUD go after them and shake them down for multicultural loans. He had the Treasury, the Fed, the FDIC go after FDIC-insured thrifts and banks under the Community Reinvestment Act and beef that thing up, put teeth in it. The thing had never had any real teeth in it. And all this built up to where we got into the 2000s, and a lot of these policies, most of them, carried forward into the Bush years, and Bush did next to nothing to reverse this whole program. He wanted also to boost minority home ownership, specifically for Hispanic immigrants. But it was Clinton, the genesis of this, Noah, you're precisely correct in that this, the genesis of the crisis was all about bad government housing policies that were started by the Clinton administration. President Clinton's multicultural schemes, for the first time, threw millions of unqualified buyers into the mortgage mix. His housing policies created the subprime bubble. Now, no one talks about this, but the subprime bubble was actually started in 1997. This was created under his policies. And now the tragic irony of this is whole minority neighborhoods now are boarded up thanks to all the foreclosures that were caused by the subprime bust. So here you had the social engineers under the Clinton administration trying to, or deigning to help minorities, when in fact it all blew up in their faces, it all backfired, and now they're worse off than ever, and it brought down the entire economy. And the average household in America is out $123,000 in net wealth because of this crisis. And now their property values are going down yet again, and even the stock market, which was rebounding, is starting to tank again. So we could be going into another housing and financial crash because of these social policies that were created starting under the Clinton administration. And yet none of those folks have been held accountable, and a lot of them have ended up in the Obama administration in the same roles that they played at HUD, over at the Justice Department, that they played under the Clinton administration, and they're doing the exact same things. They're shaking down banks all over again and setting us up for another crisis.
Yes, I would encourage our listeners to get a copy of the book. They can get it through this ministry, and our announcer will tell our listenership how to do that. Mr. Sperry, I think the average citizen anymore simply watches news on television, some pretty young thing reading what someone has wrote for them in the newsroom somewhere, and someone who is very liberal and who is governing his policies by the big moguls behind the television companies, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and some of the others. But what they don't realize is that these Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guarantees the mortgage. And the idea was, if the borrower didn't pay the mortgage holder, then Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae would guarantee it. But the government has no money of itself. So the taxpayers are the ones that are guaranteeing these loans. So the taxpayers are having to pay one way or the other. And until they wake up, somebody tells them the truth, then this scam is going to continue. And I cannot see how the economy is going to get any better unless this kind of stuff is stopped.
Yeah, you're right. Fannie and Freddie ended up holding almost half of the bad loans in the system when the music stopped and the subprime bubble burst. And the reason they did that was not because of what, you know, the media and Democrats have said, oh, it was because Fannie and Freddie were greedy and they wanted to, this was all profit motivated. That is nonsense on stilts. If you look at the 10K report, you look at internal memos and documents preceding the collapse in 2007 among the CEOs at Fannie and Freddie, they were absolutely wringing their hands over how to cover the losses that were being mandated by HUD, their primary mission regulator in the government, which was pressuring them to make these loans for a social cause. This had nothing to do with good business. And Fannie and Freddie were sending memos back and forth, you know, their CFOs to their CEOs saying, holy cow, we're subsidizing losses of over $200 million a year. And this was when times were good. This is when real estate prices were still high and masking the bad assets, the underlying assets that Fannie and Freddie were purchasing. So Fannie and Freddie, like you said, they were guaranteed. They started doing packaging and bundling all these bad loans and securitizing them, selling them to Washington. They were also buying ones that had been underwritten by some of these investment bankers on Wall Street, and they became the catalyst for the big securitization boom of subprime mortgages. Fannie and Freddie, it wasn't the, you know, Goldman Sachs and Bear Stearns and the others that have been accused of being the catalyst. It was actually Fannie and Freddie that drove that market. And the historical record is very clear on this. The evidence is, as I documented in the book, is overwhelming. And the reason they did that is because government pushed them to do that. And they were telling Fannie and Freddie, look, buy these bad loans and take them off the books of these originators so they can, the lenders on the neighborhoods at the Main Street level, so they can in turn lend more. So we can have a frenzy of lending in these high-risk communities. And then when Wall Street wanted to get in on the act, they were told that, hey, these securities, that these subprime securities that Fannie and Freddie are bundling, they're guaranteed by the Treasury. They're as good as treasuries because the government implicitly is backing them. So everything was considered safe, and that's what the rating agencies felt as well. Well, hey, you know what? We're going to give these pretty sound ratings because this is through Fannie and Freddie. They have the implicit guarantee of the Treasury behind them. And so really what was behind all this, again, was government and bad government regulation, bad government housing policies.
Also, and one other point is that this has further put the U.S. government in debt by trillions of dollars. And every time our government goes in debt, $1 trillion, that means the money you have in your bank and your pocket is less.
That's right. We're just going to have more and more cheapening of money as the Fed has to resort to printing more and more dollars to cover this gaping wound that just will not close. And this wound was caused by government. And like you said, the taxpayers are the ones left holding the bag. When it's all said and done, there are now estimates that the taxpayer liability from bailing out Fannie and Freddie could be north of $1 trillion alone just for Fannie and Freddie's bailout.
Well, Mrs. Spear, we certainly appreciate you being with us yesterday and again today. And I appreciate very much your book, because I'm just thankful that someone is coming out now and telling our people, the taxpayers, the truth of why home values are going down, why there's unemployment is getting worse, why our national debt is getting bigger and bigger, and why the savings account and money they have in their pocket is not buying as much at the grocery store as it did this time last year. So I would encourage everyone to get a copy of this book. You might also, if you read it or get an extra copy, send it to your congressman and just pray that he'll read it. And tell him that if you don't read it, you're not going to vote for him. But we appreciate your efforts here, Mr. Perry, in trying to get this information to the general public. And we certainly look forward to checking with you again at some time in the future. If this situation is getting worse, or by chance there's some action in Congress to reverse this catastrophic downfall to oblivion.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Noah, and I greatly appreciate you helping spread the word. You're a great American, and I am not optimistic, because within this administration, the same people, the same culprits behind the crisis are now in positions of power within this administration, and they're making the same reckless policies, the same reckless mistakes.
Here now is Brother Jerry to give you the address or number to call about where to get a copy of The Great American Bankruptcy by Mr. Paul Sperry.
There are three ways to get it: telephone, mail, or the Internet. Number to call, 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. The 289-page book is available in appreciation of a $20 contribution in the United States, $25 in Canada. But we highly recommend getting extra copies to share with your representatives in the U.S. House and Senate. It's highly likely some of them are aware of the facts Paul Sperry presents in this well-documented book. To get details on the gift amount for multiple copies, call us during regular business hours Monday through Friday. Call centers open from 7:30 in the morning until 6 in the evening. That's Central Daylight Time. In the book, you'll learn who was behind the debacle that caused the serious problems in the housing industry. Paul Sperry says a congressionally appointed panel managed to shift the blame away from Washington to Wall Street. This is a book every Christian needs to read, because we feel the same repercussions as non-Christian citizens due to what politicians have done. To get The Great American Bank Robbery, call 1-800-652-1144. The website is at swrc.com. The two programs in this series are also available. Get them on CD or tape for an offering of $14 in the U.S., $15 for Canadian listeners. Stay tuned now for a Bible in the News report over most of these stations. Be sure to listen tomorrow at this time when Brother Hutchings visits with Michael Hoggard about UFOs from a biblical view on your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Welcome to today's Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Reporting today will be Dr. Larry Spargimino. Brother Larry, a little more than 30 years after the Holocaust on June 7, 1981, the Israeli Air Force destroyed the Iraqi nuclear reactor at Osirak, some 10 miles out of Baghdad. Israeli officials concluded that Iraq was going to use the new reactor to develop a nuclear bomb and that one day Saddam Hussein, the notorious butcher of Baghdad, would use it against Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin justified that attack to the world by boldly announcing that he would not permit another Holocaust in the history of the Jewish people. Israel was universally condemned for the Osirak raid, even by its ally, the United States.
In San Antonio, Texas, an American pastor, John Hagee, decided to counter the strident chorus of criticism against Israel by organizing a special event, a night, to honor Israel. The day after Hagee held a press conference announcing the upcoming event, the church office received a call. Someone said, "Tell the preacher he'll be dead by Friday." As the event drew near, someone shot out the windows of Pastor Hagee's car while it was parked in front of his house. The night to honor Israel went ahead as scheduled. At 9:27 p.m., Hagee was handed a note. Someone had phoned the San Antonio Express News threatening to blow up the church auditorium at 9:30 p.m. The room was quickly evacuated. The night to honor Israel became an annual event. At the 2004 celebration, Pastor Hagee presented checks totaling $2.25 million to two Jewish organizations that funds the immigration of Jews to Israel and one that supports Israeli orphans. Anti-Semitism has reared its head again. Jews and Israelis, and also passengers carrying any non-Islamic article of faith, like a Christian Bible, will not be able to fly on flights from the U.S. to Saudi Arabia under Delta Airlines' new partnership with Saudi Arabian Airlines. This arrangement is set to begin in 2012. Jews, Christians, and others are outraged over the decision. Colby May, senior counsel with the American Center for Law and Justice, stated, quote, "The very idea that there is a common carrier airline service that would deny an American citizen in America access to their services because they are Jewish or have religious items such as a yarmulke, a cross, or a priestly collar is deeply disturbing." Close quotes. In Zechariah 2 and in Isaiah chapter 41, we read the following words, quote, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And that's from Zechariah 2:8 and also Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 10.
That's today's Bible in the News report of Southwest Radio Ministries. To get a complimentary copy of the monthly publication, call 800-652-1144. Be here for our next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.